Bald and Blonde. Welcome to the Mindset Evolution Podcast. The podcast to get tools for a powerful mind you can use immediately every day. Get tips, tricks, skills, and inspiration to create what you desire and achieve a content life wherever you are. And here are your hosts, Cathy Tate and Daisy Pub.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution, the podcast that gives you tools for a powerful mind. I'm Cathy Tate, your host from Australia. With me, as always, is your host from America, Daisy Papp, coming to you from Hungary. Hi, Daisy.
Hello, my dear. So exciting to record yet another episode. It is just about time, and I'm very curious what you have up your sleeves so we can truly encourage humans to empower their minds.
Oh, yes, Daisy, I have a good one today. Today, we are going to talk about consequences.
Well, yeah, we're always free to choose. We're never free of the consequences. It's a big one.
It certainly is.
Yeah, well, what would you like to discuss regarding consequences?
Well, I think I want to just talk about how important it is to accept that there will always be consequences no matter what we do choose, and that we're responsible for them, whatever it is that happens. I had a friend many years ago when my son was young, and she had children who were a little bit older than him. And she had the mindset that her children weren't responsible for their actions. And I morally disagreed with that quite strongly. And it was when I really started thinking about things like this, because I brought up my son to have choices, but to always understand that whatever he chose, there would be consequences, and so he should choose wisely. And I thought that it was a great conversation to have on the podcast and spread to the world.
Yeah, I agree. It is very helpful to live a content life when we are aware of that fact, because it's, I think, rather rare that a mother at your age, because you were a very young mother, that you focused on that, that you gave your son the opportunity to see that he can choose and that there are consequences of his choices. I recently had a great conversation with someone who is on the edge of making a great decision. And that's exactly what I'm inspiring him to rethink, overthink, and consider well. That in the business world, when I work with business people, depending on which trade they're in, but those who are really good, they many times a day need to make very quick decisions. So they're accustomed to that. And they oftentimes do not think of the consequences because they know whatever the consequences are, they will be able to fix it. Now, oftentimes, then these individuals take that practice into their private life and also make quick decisions, believing that they will be able to fix it afterwards. But when we deal with humans, when it's not, okay, I buy 1,000 eggs or I sell 1,000 eggs or I buy a new car or I don't buy a new car, or I buy a red car instead of a blue car. That's a different aspect of decisions. These are different categories of decisions. But when I think, okay, I do something that may harm you or that may hurt you or that may hurt our relationship, may hurt our friendship, may hurt our podcast relationship as well, then those consequences I will not be carrying by myself, but also affecting you. When I make decisions, choices that involve you directly, not indirectly, but directly, I think it is important then to be even more aware of the consequences. Now, what I bring to the awareness from business people who make 1,000 decisions or 200 decisions a day, because that's the pace of their business life, and then they take that home into their relationship, into their intimate relationship, that's usually not very well received at the other end. So then they are learning that, okay, so there are consequences. The moment when you are involved in the consequences of my choices, I am evaluating differently because you are not business.
Hmm? Yes, I know what you mean. It's an entirely different animal when you're bringing in another person. It's when I've had a partner that I've been living with, it changes this dynamic of your own decision making because suddenly there's another person involved, and whatever you decide, the consequences are going to affect not only you but them as well. And so you have to think about that, or maybe even delay the decision to include them in the process rather than doing it as you normally would.
Yes. And then another aspect to it is when we are upset or emotionally aroused or very saddened, our choices will be very different and we most likely don't look at the consequences because we are in the speed of our reactivity dismissing and missing to see the consequences. So before we decide or before we make choices, it is a good idea to come into the right here, right now.
Yeah, when we talk about this, it makes me think a lot about my life and turning 50 this year. You get a little bit introspective or look back a little. And it's funny for me to look back at what I've done in my life because so much of it, I never really intended to do it that way. I've moved a lot within Australia and to New Zealand and back in the last 20 years. And moving this time and knowing it'll be the final interstate move for me because my grandkids are here now and I want to always be near them has made me look at all the times I moved. And 20 years ago, it was never my thought, oh, I'm going to move around a lot. It just happened as my life was going. But then I look at it more deeply and go, well, I probably made those decisions to move a little bit spontaneously without really always thinking through the consequences long term properly. And that gives me some real insight into myself and the self-knowledge that I do need to slow down with big decisions because I tend to be very spontaneous. I tend to get emotionally aroused and decide to follow my heart somewhere without actually thinking about some of the consequences that may come about and whether it's the best decision for me in all aspects of my life. Is it the best decision for me financially? Is it the best decision for me emotionally? Is it the best decision when I look at whether I'm following my life's purpose? And some of those moves, there were a definite no to all those answers. And in retrospect, it's much easier to see that and have that knowledge. But at the time, when you're so emotionally involved, sometimes you just want to follow your heart and be dang with the consequences. That's that self-knowledge that I've learned about myself. And I wonder, there's other people out there like me. If you're going down that path, I would urge you to just take a breath and not make a snap decision without thinking it through. But at the same time, I don't want to deter anyone from following their heart because I'm a big believer that we should do what makes us happy and fulfilled. But sometimes being too spontaneous can be a little dangerous in that way. I hope I've explained that clearly.
Every situation is different and it requires our flexibility to be spontaneous at times and be very well thought through in other cases. There is no one fits all for life. It is upon our flexibility and it is about our evaluation case to case. When I was a little girl, my dad was a very wise man. He was brilliant. And I remember he took a piece of paper and he drew a little dot on that piece of paper and he said, Daisy, you are here. And when you make a decision here, you can't see yet what consequences it will have. But when you take a ruler and you make a straight line, then you can see where you will end up on that piece of paper. When you expand it and extend behind the decision making, what you're doing right here, right now. And when you don't like where you will end up 10 years from now, make a little tiny adjustment right here, right now, so that you change the direction, so that then you can end up where you would like to be 10 years from now. Then in addition to all that, of course, there are all the unknowns that life just shows here and there. Some actions of ours will have little consequences. Others have huge consequences. Oftentimes, we cannot even know what the consequences of our own actions are for others. Let's say there is a business owner, and the business owner didn't sleep well, is in a bad mood, got some bad news, and doesn't know how to handle them well, and unleashes all his frustration on one of his employees. That employee, after a long day of work, goes home and may be short-tempered with the family members at arrival at home. So the consequences, you see, it's a chain reaction oftentimes. The business owner being in a bad mood, not knowing how to handle it, emotional intelligence levels rather low. The employee taking it all in and taking it on, carrying it home, again, not handling it properly so it won't happen that the family members or the dog or the cat or the parrot will be on the receiving end. And then let's say the employee unleashes just a bad comment on their child, and the child is like a little sponge and it sticks with it for the rest of their life. I see it in my everyday work. Humans come to me, they're 60, 70 years old. Of course, many who are much younger. Oh yeah, because my mom said when I was 5 years old. They're still there, those painful moments. Consequences of consequences, those who caused it. Just made up a new word here. Those who take action, generating that consequence, are not even aware that long time after they're gone from this physical world, physical life, the consequences are still ongoing. I mean, we can go into history. Sometimes big things or small things happen and we are still under the impact of what happened. Big example, the lady who did not get up in the bus not so long ago in the US. The Afro-American lady who was told to get up in the bus and give her seat to someone else. She did not get up. That was a big step towards equality. Big consequences. There are many actions that can be found in history that have huge consequences. Let's think of consequences that are irreversible. For example, when it comes to health, there are some decisions we can make and then they will be irreversible. Let's say somebody wants to go and have their teeth removed because now they believe in implants. So they get all their teeth pulled.
Well, it's funny you say that, Daisy, because I had 4 teeth pulled to have implants and all 4 implants failed. And now there is nothing they can do about my teeth but giving me dentures, which I don't want to have. I feel like I'm still too young to have dentures. So yes, I've made that mistake. I should have gone and got a second opinion from another dentist before I allowed her to pull out something that is irreversible.
Exactly.
Another example is I have a friend who had a vasectomy in his 20s. That's irreversible if you decide in your 30s that you would like to have children after all, but too bad. You've gone and had an irreversible procedure done that changes your whole future. Your 20s is a young age to make a decision about the rest of your life. Although when we're in our 20s, we feel like we know everything and we're all grown up. Still, we're in a very important learning decade. And I think it's a mistake to make decisions that will affect the rest of your life at that age.
Look, I'm no longer in my 20s. I'm still in that learning phase. And I will remain in that learning phase only because I lived more moons so far than I had when I was 20 does not give me a warranty that I'm going to be wiser in making decisions. Maybe yes, due to my experience, but I'm not free of the consequences, no matter what age.
No. Absolutely.
And sometimes, yeah, but I want to go to the movies now and I leave my soup on the stove because I want to go to the movies. I don't care what happens now. I want to go to the movies. And because I want to go to the movies, I make a decision that may burn down the house because I left the soup on the stove.
Yeah, now I think that brings up quite an important talking point is I don't necessarily think it's limited to the younger generation of today. However, with the advance of IT and tech in this generation we're living in, I think it has become more prevalent to want instant gratification rather than to be patient and build slower towards things, whatever that may be, which was the norm in, let's say, 50 years ago, where we didn't have things that sped up communication. We didn't have things that sped up travel. We didn't have things that made everything available right here, right now, like the internet kind of does. Like you can go looking for something on the internet and you can instantly buy it and it's delivered to your door within a few days. 50 years ago, that wasn't possible. You had to plan for the purchase. You probably had to save the money because you probably didn't have a credit card back then. Then you would have had to go and find a shop that stocked it. They maybe would have had to bring it in for you if they didn't have stock, and then it would be delivered and you might not get it for a month. So the whole thing took a lot longer. You were used to that. That was the way things were. Whereas in today's world, everything can be fulfilled much more instantly. We've got instant communication. We've got instant travel. Well, it's not instant, but aeroplanes are a lot faster than boats were. And so I think that that spilled over into expectations of things being able to be instantly fulfilled and this whole issue of instant gratification, which then I think the danger zone is if I can get it instantly, am I really thinking about what those consequences might be?
Very good point. So when we ride on a bicycle slowly, we have much more time to respond to hazards on the street. When I'm going with a scooter and I'm speeding, my time to respond to any hazard on the street is much less. When I ride in a car, let's say speeding, it lowers consequently my reaction time, the time window where I can take action and react. In the past, with a purchase, we were so much more thoughtful. We thought it through before we went and bought that new cabinet. Oh, but is it really that? Because people back then, they bought it for life. I still know people here, they got for their wedding 60 years ago, a piece of furniture, and it is still exactly there where it was put after they received it as a wedding gift. The quality of the make was very different as well. Now, we as humans are invited to become more thoughtful as many things around us speed up, to be more thoughtful, to get adjusted to the speed of things. I mean, for example, in the military, the fighter jet pilots, there was a huge difference from the older generation propeller engines to the jets. So they needed to adjust to the speed and they needed to adjust how to respond and how to react much faster. They needed to train that. Now, where's our training when technology is inviting us and so much stimuli out there? Yeah, I want this, I want that, I want this. And, which is a big trap. If I don't like it, I just send it back. What does it teach us? That there are very little consequences of my choices and decision-making, which is great in a specific field and area in our life. The moment when we take that on in interpersonal relations, then, oh, Kathy, we did now 120 episodes. We recorded so far. I had enough. I find another podcast partner. Can you imagine the tragedy of consequences as an avalanche for you, for me? Because I thought, oh yeah, you know, I want to try a new podcast partner now. I would never do that. Why? Because we so consciously built up one another, each other, the podcast, and the team that's helping us in the background. When we choose cautiously, not because we're afraid, carefully, caringly, we will value it, whatever it is, much more.
I think that's a good point because when you started speaking about that, I thought, I wonder, you know, the world, the way it is now, the way we haven't taught people to deal with this, perhaps that's a very big reason behind the number of divorces or the statistics of divorces going up in the last couple of probably three decades. Divorces radically higher than it used to be. And of course, that's a very simplistic, only one point of view on it, but I think it's certainly a contributor. We do live more and more in a throwaway society where we aren't trained for the long term like perhaps we were 50 or more years ago. The whole world has changed radically, and therefore the way we see it and the way we operate within it have also changed. And nobody really prepares you or teaches you how to deal with it in a different way, because we learned from our parents who did it that way, and then suddenly the world's completely different, but we're still learning it that way, and that doesn't really gel, does it? It's not synergistic. We need to learn with these new tools on how to cope with these new situations in a world that's radically different than it was 50 years ago and will probably be more radically different in another 50 years.
Very good point. Having standards and having values will most likely be the answer to that. Because when I have golden rules and I stick to them, no matter how speedy I make decisions, they will be based on these golden rules, on the values, on the basics. And when we integrate that and become aware of it again, as a human species, I think that can be a very good solution to the speed and to decision making. Regarding the divorce numbers, I have a different thought on that, which is actually scientifically backed. Birth control. When women who are not taking birth control, their smell organ, the nose, notices men who are compatible for nesting. Taking birth control, women choose men that are not compatible for nesting, because the birth control has an impact, consequence, on our smell, how we smell. The compatibility that women were able to choose partners in the past, prior birth control, through hormones, was very different. It's interesting, just a tiny little hint, inspiration, if somebody out there amongst our listeners would like to have a look in that. It's very interesting. I'm observing some women who are aware of that. And when they choose a partner, they try to be off birth control. And what happens then, because they think, okay, now I'm smart. And then when they are already moved in together, and let's say family planning is done, they start birth control. And all of a sudden, they can't smell him anymore. They can't stand him anymore.
I think that's a very, very interesting scientific discovery.
I'm not a scientist. I'm just giving hints what I'm reading, and I'm amazed by it and what I became aware of.
Well, when I look at my life and some of the guys I chose during the years I was on birth control, they weren't the best picks. So I feel like there might be something in that.
It messes with us. Now, there's another consequence. Because there are so many chemicals and humans are taking so many medications, not remedies, but medications. And what doesn't stay within the body is released, that then ends up somewhere in the groundwaters, which then end up in little creeks. And all of a sudden, there are fish that are no longer capable of reproduction. Or there are frogs who all of a sudden behave very weirdly. These are all consequences that we learn now. Nobody thought of, no one considered that when they brought specific products on the market.
Yes, I think that because there are consequences to every single little thing, it is quite mind-boggling when you sit and think about it. I think the important point of today is to assure our listeners that they have some control over their life, because they're the ones who make their own decisions. And we just want to remind them that whenever they make a decision, there will be consequences. So we want to urge you to think about that in your process. And we don't want you to not ever be spontaneous. But like Daisy, like you said earlier, that there's a time and a place. And sometimes a decision shouldn't be spontaneous. Sometimes it should be more well thought out, especially if it's going to affect something important in your life, like another person, of course, or like in my experience, my finances. I mentioned earlier in the episode about how many times I've moved around Australia. Mm-hmm. When I say moved, I haven't just packed a bag and got on a plane. I've moved my whole household. And it's cost me thousands of dollars each time.
Yeah,
I sat down the other day and added it up and it was ridiculous. It would have been a house deposit quite easily, mm-hmm. the amount of money I've spent on moving companies. So it's a good example of a decision that shouldn't be quite as spontaneous, that I should have perhaps put more thought into. And I'm not saying all those moves were bad decisions, but in the financial aspect, they probably weren't the right ones.
There were consequences.
Yes, there definitely were consequences. So that's what today's episode has been about, guys, reminding you that you have control. It's your decision. It's up to you, but don't forget the consequences. Final words for you, Daisy.
Very well wrapped up. I don't have final words. Bye-bye. But you see what would be the consequences of that, you see? Everything we do and everything we don't do creates a ripple effect. And when we become aware of that again, then we can choose what we really want to ripple and what we want our ripple effect look like.
Yeah, that's a great word for it. I love that. That's it from us today. We hope you've enjoyed this episode number 113 from us, Bold and Blonde.
Mindset Evolution. Talk to you next time. Thank you for listening in to the Bold and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. Please share our podcast with your family and friends. Together, we make this world a better place. For you, for us, for future generations. Visit us at baldandblonde.live to get freebies, give feedback, and even support us with as little as $1. Talk to you soon.